I have a very interesting and a topic that's common to a lot of us, that we probably heard this word so many times and know of people who have burned out. So I'm going to be talking about burnout. And that's when your output exceeds your input. That's when burnout happens. All right. So the word says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the word says this in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. So Jesus did not design us to reflect him and to live our lives running on empty. He wired us to live, work, and serve from a place of being filled up in him, overflowing out of love, enthusiasm, empowerment, and rest. And so his yoke indeed is easy and his burden is light. We just need to come to him. But do we apply this truth to our lives, every area of our lives? That's a real challenge, isn't it? Have you been there? Maybe you know someone who's been there. You just keep going and going, and you never noticed how empty, how exhausted you got spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally until you got so sick that you went to see a doctor and he says, "You've burned out." By that stage, you're at that point of total collapse, and it's a long road to recovery. And that's sad because that could have been avoided. So burnout is unfortunately all too common these days. You yourself may know someone around you that's gone through burnout. So let's take a look at what it is, the signs of it, what causes burnout, and how you can recover from it. So what is burnout? Well, burnout is generally characterized by a combination of these three things, where there's mental and physical exhaustion, where there's cynicism, so where you get very negative and you're like, "I don't care anymore, I don't care about this," you just feel very apathetic. And the third thing, ineffectiveness. You become ineffective, meaning that because you're feeling so inadequate, you feel powerless. And so this perpetuates the cycle of getting so stressed out and getting mentally and physically exhausted and getting negative and, you know, feeling inadequate and powerless. It's a very bad cycle. So it's a very stressful state to be in. And what happens is your outward demands outstrip your inability to cope. And that leaves you more and more depleted of energy and enthusiasm. And we know that research shows that burnout leaves a mark on the body and the brain. So it affects you physically as well, not just emotionally. It overwhelms its normal functioning. And it impacts your ability to cope with stress, emotional regulation, and all your social interactions. So burnout left unnoticed, it can lead to mental breakdowns and higher risks of heart disease and sickness. You can get very, very sick. And that's why you can't just keep going and just like, "I'll just take a little break and I'll be fine." You can't just take a little break here and there and try to fix it. At that point, you need to make both mental and practical changes and able to fully recover from burnout. And so let's look at some 8 signs that you may be at risk of burnout. It just doesn't happen overnight suddenly to you. Your mind and your body, it slowly depletes itself. It's often through a long period of time. It's through a long period of time because often we're in denial, or we just, we're like, "We've got to stay strong. I've got to power on. I've got to keep doing this." So then you're ignoring all the signs in your body and in your emotions. So here are 8 signs to notice instead of ignoring. So 1, a constant weariness that sleep doesn't fix, because it's an emotional weariness, not a physical tiredness. So sleep won't make it better. 2, you're struggling to make decisions, to focus and to concentrate. 3, you constantly avoid difficult people or situations, and you're hiding behind the TV or your device or something that you find easy, enjoyable, and comfortable. And it's because your brain just simply doesn't have the energy, the mental space to deal with difficult situations and people. Number four, you dread or complain about the tasks or job or ministry you're doing. So all these things, you've got to watch, you know, how you're talking to yourself and how you're feeling. Number five, you constantly feel swamped and stressed by your responsibilities. Number six, you're not getting much sleep or eating regularly. Number seven, you feel tired and negative about everyone and everything in general. And number eight, you may get sick more often because your immune system is diminished. Yeah. So always be, you have to, I think the key is to make the time to stop and to process and reflect, because when you just keep going and going and going and you're never stopping to think and process and reflect, you won't notice any of these signs until it's too late. So what causes burnout? Well, there's an underlying mindset that causes burnout. So we often think, it's the relationship that's really difficult, the tasks too much, the job's too much, it's too stressful. Well, in fact, if you really enjoy your job and it's really long hours and it's really strenuous, you don't burn out. You don't burn out doing something you really enjoy because you have the energy for it. So burnout isn't caused by how long you work and how hard you work, but it's a symptom caused by underlying fear producing overwhelming stress and anxiety. So a common mindset behind burnout is this: I have more obligation than ownership, meaning you're doing more things that drain you rather than that which energizes you. You have more obligation than ownership about someone or something, but you still keep going in spite of this. You ignore how you're feeling, you just push on, you end up overextending yourself, overworking and overfunctioning. And soon your output exceeds your input. You're doing more that drains you than that which energizes you. So basically, obligation is where you find yourself doing something where you feel that I should, I must, I have to, and your heart really isn't in it. Therefore, you have little enthusiasm or ownership. You're merely saying yes because it's easier to say than no. Often there are other pressures like financial or physical that drives the obligation as well. So primarily, fear is the main driver of obligation. It's fear of your very unbearable or difficult feeling. You don't want to feel it, and therefore it's easier to say yes rather than no and to keep going. It could be a fear of lack, a fear of abandonment, a fear of rejection. It's a fear of disappointment. It is a fear of a very difficult and uncomfortable feeling that you don't want to feel. Now, of course, in life, there are always things that we must do because it's the right thing to do and it's a part of life, where some of it is actually fun and enjoyable and some of it is just mundane and you'd rather not do, but that's just life, isn't it? In fact, sometimes our needs do override our wants for a season, but if there's an underlying pressure of fear that keeps going on for a long time, this can lead to burnout. Now, on the other hand, ownership is where your enthusiasm and energy levels are high because your values and your priorities match what you do and what you wholeheartedly choose to put your efforts into. It's enjoyable and producing the fruits that you want to see. So ownership is driven by love, trust, or faith. And that's very empowering, isn't it? So essentially, it does come down to this: how we see ourselves and how we respond to others, and whether we have the skills to assert ourselves, to negotiate, or to stay stuck in fear and in people-pleasing, because that's so much easier and that's what we're used to. So our actions come out of our feelings, thoughts, and self-talk. So listen to your self-talk. What might you be saying or thinking to yourself when you're doing more things And so let's talk about obligation. What might you say to yourself when you're under obligation? So these are the things you might say a lot. I must. I should. I have to. I hate this. I don't enjoy this. I don't have energy. My values don't matter. My priorities are not important. I'm afraid to speak up, so I'll keep quiet. I feel drained. On the other hand, what might you be saying to yourself when you have ownership and energy in what you're doing? Do you see how it's the very opposite? So ownership might say, a mindset of ownership might say, I want to, I love to, I can. I am loving it. I'm energized. I could do this all day. My values matter. My priorities are important. I'm assertive. I can communicate thoughtfully my needs, and I feel energized. So there you go. If you do more things out of obligation, you'll end up feeling more drained. It just drains your energy, exhausts you. So if you do more things out of ownership, you feel so energized. So what drains you and what's energizing in your life? Can you assess how close or far away you are from burnout? So the good thing is you can recover from burnout. So if you realize you're experiencing burnout now, well, don't leave it to when you've reached breaking point, because that is a very hard place to be in and to recover from. That's like hitting rock bottom already. So here are just four quick steps you could take now to begin your recovery. So number one, take the time to be away from your normal activities, to rest and unwind. This is super important. Just unplug and go away somewhere where you don't feel like I have responsibilities, I have to answer the phone, I have to answer this person, that person. So where you have no pressure to answer to people or things. So where you just feel free to think and to process. You need to make that space, intentionally make that space. And this is the main thing. Our device. Devices are causing us to be so glued to the screen, to be so distracted. So make sure devices are turned off. So you're just taking a screen break too, and you're not getting distracted. And you can freely talk to God. You can go for a walk on the beach. You're just, you know, unwinding. So the first thing is to come away and just unwind. If you're all still wound up, and you're in a different place, though, that's not going to work as well. So you do need to unwind first. So just to relax your body and your mind, and your entire system. So number two, then while you're on your break, make time for sleep, eat the things you love eating, healthy things, of course, do things you enjoy, get some exercise in, you know, just activate your mind and body. Then, you know, you're releasing all those good hormones and you're starting to feel a bit better. And that's the place, once you're in that space, you can make reflections and process. Now, it's very hard to process and make reflections when there's a lot going on, you're super stressed still, and you're still wound up, and you're hungry, or you're not feeling so good. So once you come to that place, then you can make reflections and process. And I recommend just taking a good old-fashioned pen and journal, no phone, no laptop, and so you can not be distracted. So, and also talking helps, like talking about all your feelings, talking about everything that's been bottling up for a long time that you've never had time to give yourself the space to process. So have an honest talk, have a very vulnerable talk. Let those feelings come up. Perhaps talk honestly with your spouse or your friend who's come away with you on the break. And obviously on this break, it's important that you have space for yourself. It's not just, oh, let me go away with my spouse and we do this thing together. But if you're the one that's experiencing burnout, you need space for yourself. You know, you might give yourself a few hours break if you're still with your spouse, and just communicate that that's what you need, and then they'll give you that space to go and go away and process. So what you need to do is take stock of your life. You need to make a list. So the practical thing to do is start making a list. On one side, you've got everything that drains me. So list everything that drains you. On another list, or on the other side of that page, everything that energizes me. So list that. The things you do, the people you interact with, how your interactions are. And this is a very important part, step three, explore and reflect. So after you have set up your list, you go through it and you ask yourself, and you can pray and ask Holy Spirit to help you to get more depth and more revelation, or to see something you couldn't see before. Like, why am I doing these things? You know, what is the meaning behind it? What is the purpose behind it? Is it meaningful to me? Does it line up with my values? Does this line up with my priorities? And then secondly, and what beliefs do I need to change here? So you might have these underlying beliefs as, oh, I'm too scared. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. And that's why I'm doing this. You know, so you do need to examine why you're doing these things. And secondly, your beliefs are underneath that. Unless you change your beliefs, you're not going to change your actions. It'll be a very short-term fix. So here, you've got to be quite practical and wise. You don't want to be radical and go, I'm going to tell my boss I'm going to quit tomorrow because I'm burning out, you know? So I would say you start with the small things that you can change, and you can make the changes now, or make a plan on how you're going to change that, and then work it up to the bigger things that you can change later on. So be very prayerful and thoughtful about this. But the key is to make a plan, because if you don't make a plan of action that you're going to action from your reflections, not a lot's going to change, right? Yeah. So start with small things and then move on to the bigger things. And if you've reached a breaking point, you urgently need to make the changes now. Personally, I know a story many years back of a pastor who planted a church. And he was the pastor of that church for 16 years, and then he had a breakdown. He had reached beyond burnout. He reached a breakdown, and he suddenly went to see the doctor, and the doctor told him, you have to quit everything. So that was a lot on himself, and that was a lot on the church, but he just had no choice then. He'd come to the place where his body just gave him no choice. He had not listened to his body or his feelings or his mind. He just kept going and going, and he thought he could just keep going. Well, you can't. Your body and mind can only, your emotions can only take so much, and then it'll collapse. And so that's where he got to. That was very sad, but then it was also good for him, because that was a turning point in his life where he could recover. He could go and just quit. He resigned from church and pastoring and everything. And I'm not sure how many years he took to recover, but apparently how long you're in burnout, that's how long you take to recover. So say if you burned out for 2 years, you would take 2 years to recover. That's not a rule. It's can be different for every individual, but so it depends on who you are and what your unique situation is, and that's just a general rule. The point is to just be kind, you know, be gentle on yourself and help your loved ones to understand what's going on for you so they can better support you, and use wisdom and listen to sound advice. And you've got to be practical as well. So if you reach the breaking point, you need to see a GP immediately, and you need to put into place things immediately. And this is a great thing, you know. God will use our burnout for us to turn our lives around. It's a time where he can speak into us And maybe we can better align our life with where our potential will flourish. Maybe it's, you know, it's a point in your journey where it turns totally around, and then you better align with his will and his desire and his plans for your life. And then you actually flourish even more. So actually, trials and challenges, there's so much good that comes. Psalm 23 says, right? So the Lord is a shepherd, and he will take care of us. He does lead us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes our soul. So in a way, when you address burnout, you're coming to a place to lie down in green pastures, getting nurtured by the quiet waters, and you're having your soul to be refreshed. Okay, so we're coming to the end now, and we've got these questions for you guys to ponder on and to discuss. So number one, explain what burnout is to others. What does it mean? You know, define it. Number two, what does obligation and ownership mean to you? And number three, how can you trust God to be your shepherd if you were to burn out? Thank you guys for listening.